declaration of interest they'd like to declare. Let's go around the room from my left. Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you. I've got a close work colleague who's involved in the George Street and Dwyer Road, so I think it's probably prudent for me to step out.
Yes, as previously done, so that'll be noted. Councillor Hutchinson.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. The item 13, the nominations for the South Australian Local Government Grants Commission, there's a pecuniary interest on that one, so I'm going to step out of the chamber.
Yes, good move. And who else was there? Councillor Crossland.
On advisement, if I may, just to check regarding the SWARA motion with the appointment of the auditor. I just wondered what my position was as being a board member on SWARA.
I'll ask the Governance Manager to respond.
Through the Chair, I think the nature of your role of purely being on the board doesn't cause a benefit or a detriment to anyone, so I think it should be fine to stay in the room.
Thank you. I'm happy with that advice.
Very well. I'm after someone to move confirmation of the minutes from the last General Council meeting. Moved, Councillor Telfer. Seconded, Councillor Hutchinson. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Irrigation of Parsons Grove Reserve on page 22. I understand... yes, Councillor Valescu, what would you like to do?
I received advice through Governance that I am able to withdraw the motion and or amend the motion.
Yes, Councillor, I think what you want to do is seek leave of the meeting to amend the motion so that you can put it on a more accurate footing, reflecting on you, but that would be the thing to do. So does the meeting give leave for Councillor Valescu to, and the seconder, I presume, to modify their motion? Does anyone object, basically? No? Well, then you have leave to proceed. So you tell us, Councillor Valescu, what is the motion that you would like now to move?
Thank you, Your Worship. I will direct members to page 23. There is a suggestion there. I will move the motion as is. There are 3 points that it notes the petition and comments provided by administration. Request the administration to connect the Parson Grove Reserve to the Oakland Recycled Water Distribution Network in 2017, 1 year earlier than scheduled. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yes.
And right. I do bring this is on the list to be connected in the following year.
Right. So just checking that the seconder is... Who was the seconder? Councillor Westwood's not here, but I presume that somebody else can second the motion?
Yes.
So Councillor Hull seconds the motion. I'll come back to you. Now... You have already spoken, Councillor Valescu, haven't you? So it's a little bit of an unusual one, but we've given you leave to do that because new information has come to light. Namely, when it was before Council last time, we weren't aware that the Oakland's water, recycled water, is running right past there and it was planned to be reconnected anyway, which will be a great relief to those residents. So you don't need to speak, or you can't really speak any further, Councillor Valescu. We've got a new seconder. Is that a point of order or a question? A question. I'll let Councillor Hull speak if he wishes and then come back to the question.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have had representations made to me about this particular reserve, having been a past elected member for that area. I did pass it on to Councillor Valescu, and I'm glad that he's actually moved this motion. Mr. Mayor, one of the first questions I asked of the staff was, that is it true that the residents' assessment that Oakland's wetland water was connected to this reserve? Because they saw the pipe go past. They're not silly. They saw the pipe go past this reserve and made an assumption that it was actually connected. It proved not to be the case, but the pipe certainly went past. And here we are, Mr. Mayor, talking about selling water to... I probably need to be careful here because of confidentiality... But we're talking about selling water to private entities, I can say that much, and yet reserves in our city are being bypassed where the pipe literally goes straight past it. It doesn't make sense. The residents don't feel it makes sense. The residents, Mr. Mayor, have already paid to actually have that wetland built, the aquifer recharge and everything else that goes with it in their rates. Why wouldn't they wonder why the water from the wetland is not used on their reserve? And I thought that was our mission. Our primary mission, our core business, was to green our city. If we happen to sell water to private entities, so be it. But I think charity starts at home, and we actually water our reserves like we set out to do. If it's convenient like this, Mr. Mayor, it's literally going past the reserve. It's nonsensical not to actually support this motion.
Councillor Crossland, you had a question?
Two questions. Am I to take it from Councillor Valescu's new amended motion that this reserve was already on the list of our reserves to be irrigated under the irrigation matrix?
Answer, yes, it was. And the effect of the motion now is to bring that forward a year.
Thank you.
Anyone speaking against the motion? Then I'll put it to a vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Just a second. First and second. Very well. We move to the next item, which is our appointment of a committee chair for the... Appointment of the presiding member of the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee. So, I call for nominations. I have three nominations. I'm just checking, you're each nominating yourself, aren't you? Expressing interest, yes. So we have three nominations, and because this matter's already been up before, I don't believe that speeches are required, campaign speeches, etc. So if people are agreeable, shall we just proceed to a vote? I'm getting nods from people. So let's just proceed to a vote. You have, because we knew this item was on the agenda, you have ballot papers somewhere in front of you. Can anyone raise their hand if they do not have a ballot paper in front of them? And so this is preferential voting, and you should also have a paper with you. You can name... you must vote for a number of candidates equal to the number of positions. So you must vote at least once for it to be available. That's pretty obvious. So it's optional preferential, though. So you can put A, B and C, or you can just put A, or you can put A and B if you want. So just feel free to vote accordingly. While we're counting, I note that items 7 and 8 on the agenda are all it's a deputation, a petition and a motion in relation to Masbury Circuit Reserve Irrigation. The request has been that the deputation be heard about 8 p.m. I've agreed to that. So can I ask Governance Manager, what's the appropriate motion to... I mean, we really just want to put it off and call it on when required. Okay. So with leave of the meeting, I'll call it on when convenient. And we'll just keep going. Leave is granted. Beautiful. Seek a motion, page 45, confirmation of the minutes of the Special People and Culture meeting. Moved, Councillor Hutchinson, seconded, Councillor Telfer. Or the other way around. Did anyone wish to speak to that? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Got that? Just staff, got that? Page 45. Okay, we're looking at confidential orders now. Can members indicate if they have looked through the list of confidential orders in the recommendations, whether it's to release that they have questions about or whether it's not to release that they have questions about? Can members now mention to me which items they would like to be taken out, because we'll do the rest as a block vote? I'm aware of one item already. Councillor Hull?
Ask if the Craven deed confidentiality has been lifted as part of this process?
The Craven deed has... Is there a recommendation to lift confidentiality?
It's
yes is the answer. Okay. Getting from Ms. Thwaites. Councillor Crossland?
Might as well go home. Two in a row.
Add the old Hallett Cove Library motions or reports onto those lists to release.
Ms. Thwaites?
So three of those items are their report number 13, 14 and 15 in the appendices, and they are recommending release with the exception of one. It's being released with the company names of the unsuccessful offers redacted, so that they are being released.
Now the other one I'm aware of is the Mark Searle, former Chief Executive, performance reviews, etc., contracts, etc., I think are being released on recommendation, but an exception is being made for the deed in relation to separation. There are still commercially sensitive elements of that, so it'll be recommended that confidentiality be retained. But we will still have another virtually record number of items released, which I'm very pleased to note. Councillor Gard, you had a point?
Yes, Your Worship. Number five, legal advice. I'm not privy to this item in particular, but it does say further legal advice provides this information should continue to remain in confidence. Now, is that to say from those that are closer to it that the release with complainant and staff names other than the CEO is therefore redacted? Or are we not completely observing the legal advice?
Could you just tell us that which item that was again?
Sorry, that's number five, internal reference 157, legal advice.
I'll just ask Ms. Thwaites or Ms. McKenzie to locate that and we'll give you some advice.
Sorry, my understanding is the matter has now concluded to a point that's an old reference, and we've more removing the names of the complainant because they've left the council area and we can't actually get in contact with them. So I think in fairness of removing their names, that the matter's now been concluded so it could be released.
Well,
That's actually from the 2015 review. Yes.
But just to clarify, if it's item, did you say number five or internal? Yes. So, Councillor Gard, the reference shows that's from a July 2012 council matter. So I'm just asking staff to confirm that. So I've just been advised that the nature of the case, and it was a long-running planning dispute, went to court and so forth. So it's considered fair to or concerned to release it, but with names redacted. Okay, so the only other matter I was aware of, I've already mentioned. So can staff assist with wording of the recommendation so that the deed to which I've referred won't be included in the release? And how does this motion release the items that are going to be released? I mean, because the recommendation was just to note the report.
Yes, and my understanding was that with this item, the only matter that was considered at the time was the deed, and the deed is what is going to be retained. So the only other part to it is that there's a confidential order at the beginning to move into confidence, and then the minutes would also be released. Yeah.
Well, I had thought that there were a large number of items recommended for release. 56.
This is just Appendix 40.
Well, what the point I'm making to staff is that the recommendation on page 52, which is the item we're on, is simply to note the report. Well, has there been some framework drafted to move these in block so that the recommendations are followed? Or where is the draft motion? Okay. So what we want to move on block is the recommendation on page 52, which is that we note the report, plus the motion on page 68, we want to move all of those following motions except for this one. So can someone please clarify this? I'm struggling a bit as to what the motion, we know what we want to do, we're just trying to get the appropriate wording. Can staff please help?
So just to clarify, members, the table that is provided in the covering report highlights all of the confidential orders. Number one, there's 40 appendices to that, and hence there's 40 separate reports. So what you'll find in the reports following the covering report is the individual confidential orders, which we would be moving en bloc, pulling out Appendix 1, sorry, Report 1, Appendix 40, which is the deed of release.
Thank you. So we want someone to move en bloc the noting of the reports, all of the subsequent motions, right up to page 276, with the exception of the one variation, which is the motion that's on the screen, instead of the one that you just mentioned.
Yes,
it's different. So I hope that helps. Members, is there someone that would like to move accordingly? Councillor Valescu, thank you. Seconded Councillor Byram. Did anyone wish to speak to that? Councillor Crossland?
It would have been easier to have an Appendix 1 of ones to be released, Appendix 2 to save or something. It's just worded a little clumsily.
Yes, I agree. Councillor Valescu?
So the tables indicate what will be released and what won't be released, apart from the adjustment on the screen. Is that clarified? Because that's
yes.
What I'm...
Thanks,
moving.
Councillor. So there are all of the yeses in a row and then all of the noes in that report, which appears as Appendix 1 on page 55. So that, that does answer Councillor Crossland's query, really. Thank you. I'll put the motion in. All those in favour? All those, that's carried almost unanimously. Yes, we released about 60 last year and 56 this year. So... there are another 30 to 40. So we've actually released the vast majority of confidential items in this term, in this 2 years. We've swept away 10 years of confidentiality. Right, we'll move on to... We won't move on. Councillor Valescu, that's my understanding, isn't it? You incorporated that motion on the screen as a variation. Yes, the record stands. Okay, how are we going with voting? Because with leave of the meeting, I'm sure people want to hear the result, so we can deal with that item. Well, I'm told that the result is Councillor Byram, so we would look for a motion then in relation to that item on page 30, that Councillor Byram be appointed presiding member of the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee. So moved Councillor Westwood, seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And congratulations to Councillor Byram, who can continue her good work on the committee, which has transformed into the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee. And that motion was as printed, so it had the term, etc. Yep. Now we jump back to... page 278, George Street and Dwyer Road. Councillor Pfeiffer's leaving the meeting. I guess we could give it a minute, then the motion could lapse. Councillor Telfer, want to test something?
I sent through a motion to Ms. Thwaites by email. I'm wondering if that could be put up.
Okay. Let's have that up on the screen if we could. While we're finding it, Councillor Telfer, would you like to speak to the motion? And we'll ask for a seconder once we can get it up on the screen. Thanks.
The motion that I have developed notes the report and the work that's been done there and endorses a raised junction treatment, Dwyer Road and Boyle, as per Appendix 3 in your agenda, and the monitoring of the change of vehicle traffic in George Street and Dwyer Street and Dwyer Road. It then focuses on Crewe Street and the potential development of Crewe Street. And lastly, in the motion, we have the potential for the expensive raised pavement in Finnis Street, George, that was proposed not to proceed because of the $100,000 cost in drainage, and that await the Finnis Street streetscape. Which would go from Marion Road to Township Road. I know we have a piece of paper that shows that the people right on the actual Boyle Dwyer Road raised pavement are not necessarily in agreement. This was done on Sunday afternoon by a couple of the councillors and has come as a surprise to us. But we have for 20 years struggled with how do we mitigate against the speed and the volume of traffic in both George and Dwyer. So it is for that reason that I come forward with this motion. It is about a community of 1,000 people that we have surveyed, had at public meetings, had disputes, heard people from other streets. So we need to move forward quietly on this. And to say that Oaklands Crossing will solve it, it won't. There will still be traffic through there, even to get to Oaklands Crossing, to get across. So I would move this in good faith.
Is that seconded? Councillor Hutchinson?
I just wanted to clarify Councillor Telfer's motion that point two should not read three raised junctions. I think it should just be a raised junction. Look, members, this is, as we know, been going on for many years now. And this is where I proposed a trial road closure, but unfortunately that wasn't supported. So here we are again, this time with another expensive alternative, but one that will mitigate but won't prevent the issue. In my mind, this is the last try, and if it doesn't get up tonight, I think that's the end of it. Clearly, there's not support in the chamber for a resolution here, and we'll leave it at that. But I really, I'm supporting Councillor Telfer on this. Personally, I'm kind of in two minds myself now after several years of supporting action here. So, look, we can't get agreement from residents. We know that. We never will. But at least we can do something to mitigate it. And I think this is the primary place to do something. I certainly don't agree with the other options at either end, but I think this is the key point right in the middle that we can make a difference. But if we can't tonight, well, that might be the end of it. Thank you.
Is anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Gard?
Your Worship, I sympathise with both sides of the argument. However, I think there's so many wills within wills, and excuse the pun, about this, that does the sort of infrastructure that we're proposing alleviate the traffic issues? Does it alleviate the speed issue after someone's crossed one of those humps? I live near Cowrie Parade, and what it tends to become, exercise like that, is a circus where people work out how quickly they can jump one of the obstructions with a four-wheel drive or whatever it may be, and then get back to maximum speed, etc. And the real critical factor for me in voting against the motion is the fact that it will add considerable discomfort to the locals. And I think if it were a really compelling argument that the infrastructure go in, well, then I would be prepared to vote the other way. But I feel that the Oakland's Crossing is in the mix still. I accept Councillor Telfer's point that it won't. The Oakland's Crossing is not the silver bullet that will completely fix this particular precinct, but I do think it will take pressure off it. And I think it's incumbent on us to ensure that we find another way, that that people get fined for exceeding speed limits in streets like that. And I could name a few in Marino that I'd say the same to as well. I don't think it's a big enough fix.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Councillor Hull?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, happy to speak in favour of the motion. Mr. Mayor, I want to make a statement first up that this door knocking on Sunday, I wasn't invited. I had no part in it. I wasn't made aware it was going to happen. And I think for those who represent wards would probably realise that it is concerning when another councillor comes into your ward door knocking and without even touching base. Enough said about that. Mr. Mayor, I've been involved with this for years. During this council and the previous council, attended all the meetings. I'm across it. I don't need to go door knocking. I know that there'll be people that won't be happy about having a treatment outside their house. You could go to any part of Marion and knock on the doors of people that have a chicane or a roundabout near their house and they say, oh, I don't like it. It's a given. Because that issue just comes with the territory. And I know there's areas of my ward, if you attempted to take those treatments out, there would be a riot, for good reason. But they're serving their purpose. All those cross streets going exactly the same way in Warradale, if you tried to take those traffic management devices out, there'd be a riot. They'd come looking for me. And in this case, this is a much bigger and more concerning road. On this particular bend, Mr. Mayor, there's been fatalities. On this particular bend. And regardless of what happens with the Oakland's Crossing, and let's face it, anybody around here is going to tell me to hold my breath, while the Oaklands crossing is resolved, well, think again. This bend, it is an S bend, literally. It goes around like that, or a Z bend, if you might. And it is a challenge. While it's there untreated, it's a challenge for somebody to try and go around there as quickly as possible, and they do. That's why there's a fairly considerable guardrail all the way around it, because of the speed, obviously, that some people have attempted to take over the years. There's actually a guardrail around there that you would find on our highways. Exactly the same. So that's, you know, for that to have that sort of treatment already, the guardrail that you would find on our highways, what does that say about this particular spot? I think it's a good spot to do it, Mr. Mayor, regardless of whether the Oakland's crossing is fixed or not, because some people see it as a challenge already. Now, the fact that some of the people that have been agitating for this area to be made safe are now objecting because the treatment might be outside their house, well, that's just the way the coin has rolled. And I don't have any problem in supporting this. I'm not sure whether these people are happy having their names made public. You know, with a petition, there's sensitivities with that.
Right. Calling you to order, Councillor Hull. Thank you. Is anyone else speaking against the motion? Councillor Pryor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I was one of the councillors that went and talked to the residents, and the results of that are pretty conclusive. The local area really don't want this treatment in. We only had one person who responded in the affirmative, and I think for myself, I was quite divided on the issue. Sometimes this looks like a good idea, sometimes it looks like a bad idea, but the general consensus from the local residents in the area has swayed me towards the fact that I don't think we should put it in. The probably the big one for me was one of our, you could call him head petitioners. We had quite a lengthy chat with him about what else we could do if we didn't go ahead with this, and streetscaping came up. This is a tough decision, but I'll be voting against this.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Well, then I'll invite Councillor Telfer to close the debate.
We have tried to find options in Narrow Street, George and Dwyer. Staff have looked and used their expertise to deal with the 4,000 cars a day that go down those streets, and they affect the 1,000 residents in the area. I believe this is the best, as good as we can do, so I bring this forward tonight.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, the motion is defeated. Division is called. So those people in favour of the motion, I ask to stand in your place. In the affirmative, Councillors Telfer, Hutchinson, Hull, Westwood and Valescu. You may sit down. Those against, Councillor Pryor, Byram, Appleby, Gard and Crossland. If you interrupt again, I'll throw you out of the meeting. I'm just about to, Councillor. Don't interrupt again or you'll be thrown out of the meeting. You want an early night? There's a lot on the agenda. There's no time for that sort of mucking around. I have given the matter a lot of thought, and as is my custom, I usually want to provide some reasons if I'm going to cast a vote. Of course, I'm extremely familiar with the road. Like a lot of people that live in Marion, I've taken a shortcut myself. And it's an unfortunate feature of the area that because we've got Oaklands Crossing and the Marion Sturt Road intersection as significant traffic delays, it becomes a very inviting way to cross through the Marion suburb. The The matter came before us last time with a proposal for one of these raised surfaces at the corner of Finnis and George. Personally, I couldn't see how that was going to solve anyone's problem. As I understood it from the petitioners previously, the concern was more about volume than speed itself. Speed is an issue, but volume of vehicles was more of a problem. I think that Councillor Hutchinson probably had it right in the sense that the only way to really limit volume is to block the road in some way. And, of course, what would immediately happen if you did that would be that the surrounding roads would take much the same traffic. Not all of it, probably, but a lot of it. And so we'd have the problem then replicated in the adjoining streets. And that's why it's such a conundrum, that the challenge for council has been, how do you discourage traffic down the George Dwyer shortcut without causing problems in adjoining streets? So when I look at this proposed solution, not the three that was put up by staff, but the Councillor Telfer's motion, the question I ask is it going to be effective more than anything else? Is it going to be effective in diminishing volume on that street? It will certainly diminish speed in the immediate vicinity of the raised platform, but is it going to diminish volume? The reason that I had been one of those people suggesting that the whole series of three platforms be costed and investigated was because I thought it was really a bad way of decision making to put up part of a solution and then come back later for another part of a solution and then come back later for another part of a solution. If it was always envisaged that there should be a package of three, then I thought it was appropriate to have everything presented to us at the one time. But as it stands, I won't support the motion, so I cast my vote in the negative, and that's in the division that we're talking about. So let that be recorded, and the motion fails. I think under the circumstances, it might be I invite councillors, if they wish to move an alternative motion. We don't have to. We can cool off and come back next year. Councillor Crossland?
I think when we started this process, we put a lot of effort and time, and the councillors for that area wanted us to push for the Oaklands crossing. We've invested a lot of time, money and effort into that, and I'm hopeful that that will go ahead. I agree with all the comments that your worship has said, that there is no fix for this particular issue, and we've invested a lot of staff time in it. So I'd like to propose a motion that we draw a line under this and we carry out no further investigations into the Dwyer Street and George Street traffic problems until the Oaklands crossing has been completed.
That'll be put up on the screen, and just make sure that you're happy with the wording. While that's being done, it's a simple enough concept. It's essentially a no further action until Oaklands crossing is fixed. Is that seconded? Seconded, Councillor Byram. So, Councillor Crossland, did you wish to speak further?
No, thank you. I think really the explanations we've had tonight and the previous attempts, we've spent plenty of time on this and discussed it already.
Councillor Byram, did you wish to speak?
Yes, thank you, Worship. Yes, I think it is important that we revisit this after we have finished the other constructions that are going on that will affect traffic flow through these regions. So the Oaklands crossing and also of course the expressway on Main South Road. So those being completed, I think is the time, but perhaps this could be revisited, not before.
All right. Would someone like to speak against the motion? Councillor Hutchinson?
I've got a question.
A question?
It's a question for staff. How does this affect if a new complaint comes about from a resident that's a genuine something related to traffic along these streets? What would staff do given this motion?
If the motion is passed, what would the response of staff be? Can you be a bit more specific? Because,
well, for example, if there's a new issue that arises, let's say it's about parking, we need to undertake an investigation about parking is really bad or something like that. I wouldn't want to. I basically see this as, look, I think there's enough goodwill in the chamber to say, well, I think we're all going to draw a line in the sand. You already heard what I had to say. I wouldn't be pushing for any more investigations or bringing that to council. I think this is limiting in terms of if there's a genuine issue that arises outside of what we've dealt with thus far relating to traffic in these two streets. I don't want staff to be told or telling residents, oh, we're hamstrung because this council has put this motion.
All right. Would staff like to comment, please?
Mr. Griffin. Through the chair. Depending what the issue is, of course, if it was parking, we would investigate that. That would be a different issue. But if it was an issue related to traffic volumes down the road, of course, we would relate that this motion being carried and we were waiting for certain things to be constructed. If it was another traffic matter, a junction that had a problem, maybe an accident there, we'd investigate that.
Councillor Pryor, did you have something you were speaking against, were you?
I had a question, if that's...
Question? Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question relates to how this would work into any further investigation into whether this was suitable for streetscaping for this reason.
Who would like to answer that? Or Mr. Griffin? So that I think the idea is that we're saying that we won't do anything if this is passed directly on the traffic volume or speed problem, but if in our streetscaping consideration someone said, well, George Street and Dwyer Road should have streetscaping, would such streetscaping proposals be inhibited by such a motion?
Okay, through the chair. I don't think it would. That's a different sort of scenario. We're looking at improving the environment for the residents as far as amenity goes. I still think we could look at that. I think it would be some time off because we've got quite a few on the list to get through beforehand. Even Finnis Street comes up fairly high on the list, and that would be quite an expensive job. So I don't think we'd get there for a while, but yeah, we would still look at it.
Yeah, I mean, the primary purpose of streetscaping is not traffic control, so I think that's why it would be a different issue. Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I'm certainly speaking against this. Mr. Mayor, I don't understand why, if you've actually succeeded in stopping a motion, that you would actually then go for the throat and try and actually then bury the corpse of this project. I really am struggling with that. And just to express my concerns about this, this is a personal failure for me and my ward. That's how deeply I see it. And I see it as an assault on my people. And it's been going a long time, and to not allow this gesture, and all it was gesture, like, you know, I'm well aware of the controversy of this. Blocking the road off, I didn't support that because I know that I would be letting down a lot of people who don't want the road blocked. So this is what was proposed before was a half measure, and any of the three would have been a part measure of trying to address the concerns raised by a number of people in that street, and also try and understand that it is for the local people an access and egress road. We've identified, Mr. Mayor, that a lot of the people using this road don't live in that triangle. They're passing through there for whatever reason. They're the ones that I was trying to target, to try and discourage from going through there, you know, looking at reduced speed limits. That didn't work. I just find it personally distressing that I haven't been able to resolve this issue. And the vigour that some people have taken to actually make their point, and maybe it is because of money, I find disturbing and damaging to the goodwill in the chamber.
Is there anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Councillor Valescu, question? No, that would be contrary to the motion.
Okay.
So, if there are no further speakers, I'll invite Councillor Crossland to close the debate.
Thank you, Worship. I think I'd just like to say firstly to Councillor Hall that there is nothing personal in this. Where I am looking, this thing has been rolling on since probably the early 2000s. Council has invested a lot of time and money into it. We paid to install speed humps. We then had petitions and problems with other streets, so they were removed. We've had attempt, a lot of staff time taken up on this issue. There is no magic bullet. Oakland's Crossing may work, it may not. Again, none of us in this chamber really know for sure. The intention is really just to draw a line under it, so hopefully people can move on. Maybe we can use staff time to actually look at some of the other problems that are occurring in council rather than monopolise them focused on just one central issue. I believe it is time to let staff work on other traffic problems across council, and I'm just trying to draw a closure to it that we can all move on.
I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? I declare the vote tied. Well, this is getting tough. The problem that I have in thinking about this is that so many solutions have been put forward and not favoured by a majority of the council. And as I indicated before, there's probably a fairly narrow range of measures that would actually be effective and yet not disrupt residents in neighbouring streets. So I'm very tempted to vote in the affirmative, but I don't want to close off all the options. So I'm going to vote against the motion, and I declare the motion defeated. So we'll move on, unless somebody would like to move yet another motion. I think it's time to move on. So, page 288... Glade Crescent Wetlands. Let's turn to a happy story. Someone to move? Councillor Byram. Seconded Councillor Gard. Councillor Byram, did you wish to speak?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. At the last ward briefing, we had the privilege of being able to go and have a tour down there at Glade Crescent Wetlands, and it is going to be fantastic when this is finished. I'm very impressed with the work that's been done. One thing of note in the recommendations is that there is urgent work to do some repair work. I was pleased to hear that there's going to be some contributions from other service organisations towards that, that funding. So, yes, that needs to be urgently undertaken. It is a very good project. It is going to be very good for the City of Marion when this one is finished. Thank you.
Councillor Gard.
Your Worship, this is one of, I think, Councillor Crossland's and my favourite projects in our ward. It is a really high quality development. It's going to really favour the general district. I don't think just Hallett Cove, but I think the Shido Parks, Trot Parks and Merinos are going to all benefit from this project. I think a lot has been said about it as far as the benefits are concerned. I think they're well understood, so I won't go on about those, except to say that I would like to congratulate the project management and all staff that have had so much to do with this exercise, because it is a very high quality project in itself, and it's going to have a very high quality outcome, and it's something that the whole of the City of Marion will be able to stand back and be very satisfied with and proud of.
Is there anyone speaking against the motion? A question from Councillor Telfer.
Through the Mayor to staff. Given that this is a creek bed, a waterway, what is the sustainability of the embankment? I raised the issue about whether it would sustain a 1-in-100-year flood, and I was assured it would. But how sustainable is this? Because I've always had trouble with the conversion of a creek bed into a park.
Who would like to comment from staff? Mr. Lyons?
The embankment will be for a 1-in-100-year storm event. That's what the designers have been provided the guidelines for, and that's what it will be designed for.
How sustainable is this embankment? How long is it, this embankment, going to last there?
I don't have the design life, but it'll be a permanent structure, and it will be there for the foreseeable future.
Anyone speaking against the motion? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. Page 295, options for supply of water into Tonsley, just calling for a series of reports. Moved Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Crossland. Any discussion? Councillor Pfeiffer?
Just a question. Is this not pretty much exactly what we asked for at the forum last week? I don't know why it's coming to Council.
That's a fair question. Mr. Scull, Mr. Lyons, anyone?
Your Worship, it was requested that it come to Council just for approval, and then staff will act on it.
Okay.
I'm happy to support the process for transparency in the public interest.
Well, all right. I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. We move on to page 297, Tennis and Netball Progress Report. I do stress progress. I would like to read out an email, though, from 2 years ago, if I can find it, for information. But as I thought, it's impossible on my system to find emails quickly. So who would like to move accordingly? Councillor Valescu.
Thank you, Worship. Look, I do want to move accordingly on this. I just think these are obviously investigations that we're looking at. And some of these things are, I guess, pretty straightforward. Others are going to be more complex to manoeuvre through. I have made some notes here. I guess it's up to the elected members. I encourage elected members to speak to clubs, to speak to staff, monitor the concerns and the true extent of discomfort, and if and how concerns can be mitigated. I think it's also important to keep an eye out on how representative bodies are working with us, and make sure that we can ensure an ongoing positive relationship with them, but also be clear on the expectations. So I think that expectations need to be clear. You know, we're the ones who are talking on behalf of our facilities, and we should remember that. But, you know, these are facilities that are utilised by clubs, and a lot of these have been around for a long time, and we, you know, we need to take that into account as well. But I guess for me, I just want to see, to management, I want to see lots of notes. I don't want he said, she said stuff. And I think that, you know, there is room for improvement from what's happened in the past. But that said, it's been very positive speaking to some of the new staff involved, and just the change in how we've approached this. So I look forward to a report, and hopefully we can achieve our objectives as close as possible with minimising any concerns people may have in the community.
Is that seconded? Councillor Telfer?
Yes, in seconding this, I'd like to say that at the Seaview High School, we're just at the beginning. All we have so far is sketches on paper. There hasn't been the discussions about who takes responsibility, who actually looks at the costs, who actually comes to the table with resources. So it is still a long, long, long haul to have four or five parties all agreed. But it is exciting, the idea of having a multi-court, that's two courts that are covered. That's something more than we had planned, and it's something that Tennis Australia and Tennis SA brought to the table because they have resources to do that and implement that. And the fact that it's at Seaview High School doesn't mean that it's going to be a free ride for council. I believe that we will need to consider resources. Originally, Seaview High paid for the lights on our grounds. We may be having to consider the lights on their grounds. We may also have to consider the toilets, kitchen facilities on their grounds. So unfortunately their facilities are far too far away from the actual courts. There is also the whole issue of access that council's committed to, of the public being able to access these. So we're at a beginning on that. On the others, there's still a lot of discussion and putting in place so that everybody is content with the solutions we come up with.
Is anyone speaking against the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I just realised I should declare an interest. My daughter is enrolled at the school next year.
All right. You're leaving the meeting. Yes. Look, before we go on, tell me, just raise a point of order if you don't want to hear it, but it's a short email that I'd like to share with you from the 18th of December 2014, so just 2 years ago, to one of the managers here. Noting the inability of one of the tennis clubs to pay rent, I recall a brief discussion with Mark in November to the effect that numerous courts in the city need maintenance attention and there are probably too many courts in total for the playing population. I made the suggestion that there may be appetite among the council to sell off the least used courts and use at least most of the proceeds to improve the most successful tennis club facilities. Tennis SA, I am told, is not willing to intervene and pick winners, i.e. which clubs should stay or go, but someone has to make the hard decisions. The last council had trouble doing so, but this council may well be up for it. When might such a report come to council? So, hope people can see the humorous side of that. So it's a process that's been going on for a long time. Was anyone speaking against the motion? If not, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hands. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And so we move on to page 325, Streetscape Project. The notion here is that... Well, I suppose it comes out of a meeting I had with Mr. Lyons and Mr. Allen about what happens when the two streets we've chosen for streetscaping are done? Don't we need to do something to prepare for next year so that when we come to allocate funds in the budget, we know what we're spending them on? And out of that discussion, staff have come forward with a suggestion that they start designing Alawuna Avenue. Alawuna was in one of those top four that scored 21 out of 25 in the matrix, so I'm pleased that at least we're following the matrix concept that we endorsed. Whether it be that street or another is of course a matter for debate, but that's the reasoning behind the motion that's brought to council. So, Councillor Telfer to move.
I'll move as per the recommendation.
Seconded Councillor Gard. Councillor Telfer, did you wish to speak further?
Yes. The work that's been done on the guidelines that we will be passing next is very important to this. We have an idea about streetscapes that are more than trees, that are built form as well. We have an opportunity with Alawuna to link Tonsley through to Marion Road in a very beautiful and attractive way. We also have the challenge that people that live south of Alawuna don't seem to move north of Alawuna. So we have a whole issue when we design this of connectivity. So whereas we want a beautiful avenue, the Alawuna Avenue Mitchell Park, going from Marion Road to the Tonsley site, we also want the ability for residents to move to and fro across to all sorts of community places that are of value to them, so that they don't feel cut off or constrained into a rectangle south of Alawuna. So we look forward to this. It's exciting.
Councillor Gard.
Your Worship, I second everything that Councillor Telfer has just said. This is a really mighty project that we're starting to embrace. I think one of the great aspects of it is that we are really starting to grind down on the nitty-gritties and the elements that are involved in streetscaping. In so saying, I would caution people to be concerned about the apparent costs that you could derive from the finishes that have been recommended. I think it's important to nominate the sorts of finishes for the sorts of areas and treatments. I think it's a horses for courses exercise.
Councillor Gard, sorry to interrupt, but you may be speaking to the following motion.
Yes, okay.
This current motion is just to really start getting ready for next year's budget,
sure,
by proposing a particular street for design work in the remainder,
yep,
of this financial year.
Your Worship, I do endorse that, because one step further to what Councillor Telfer said, it is not one of the better parts of our city at the moment, the Alawuna Avenue area, irrespective of the fact that Tonsley is growing nearby. But it behoves us to do something special, considering the evolution of Tonsley and everything that's going to go with it. So from that point of view of the motion, yes, I thoroughly endorse it.
Anyone speaking against the motion? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority. Thank you. And now we turn to the draft design guidelines. Who would like to move? Councillor Gard. And I'm glad to say you've already covered a few of your points. Go
all
ahead.
My points are...
Is there any more?
No, Your Worship, I don't think it would be appropriate.
I appreciate your brevity and succinctness. Is that seconded? This is Councillor Hutchinson. Did you wish to speak? No? Question, Councillor Hull?
Just for the public record, can somebody give an answer to this question? Will this very worthwhile project support or take into consideration water-sensitive urban design, climate change adaptation, and anything else that goes with it? So it's actually a holistic approach to our streetscapes, and maybe look at other models around Adelaide or further afield to get the best outcome for our dollar.
Sure, I think that's a question. Councillor Pfeiffer, are you getting in line for another question or comment? All right, just a sec. I'll ask Ms Dixon to answer that one of Councillor Hull's first.
Through the Chair, yes, it will include that consideration.
Councillor Pfeiffer.
Your Worship, look, just a question. If you're looking at the appendix, which is the actual framework itself, design guidelines, sorry, page 389, the section entitled Trees, really good, and it's a great list, and I like seeing the nuts and bolts of, you know, all the various options that are proposed through for streetscaping. What I'm interested in is how this relates to our pre-existing tree management framework, which specifically looks at, or specifically identifies, I think usually in most cases, four, five or six species per suburb across the whole city of Marion for street tree planting and also park and reserve planting. So I'm just interested in how that pre-existing tree management framework, which has spent about 18 months designing, relates to this.
You know, just at this point, it's probably very appropriate to mark the passing of Gordon Sykes, who was the tree man here at council for so long. He passed away very recently after struggling with illness, and I'm sure he would have had the answer to that at his fingertips, even in his sleep. So we do remember him, but we'll ask someone else, Ms Delgado, to answer the question. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Through the Chair, Councillor Pfeiffer, we're very conscious of the tree management framework as a tool, I guess, that we've used for a number of years now. It was developed back in 2012, and it is actually due for a review at the moment, and we're starting that conversation internally. That document was taken into account in the development of the guidelines, and plus the arborist that we have currently working at council and other staff with expertise in trees have all had input into these design guidelines. So that the street tree element of these design guidelines will supersede the tree management framework street tree element. But of course the tree management framework also looks at open space trees as well, and also has procedures and many other things in it as well, which still need to be reviewed as a matter of course, because it is due for review. But the trees that are in that framework have been taken into account in the development of these guidelines.
Back to Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thanks. Just a subsequent on that. The tree management framework is, of course, just the stock standard, whether it be a replacement tree, whether it be a street full of trees, whereas this, correct me if I'm wrong, streetscape design guidelines are specifically for streets that we are streetscaping. Is that correct?
It is for streets that we are streetscaping, but it will also impact perhaps on streets where there might be need for just renewal of the trees there or replacement of trees as well. So it will guide trees across the city, and the design guidelines will guide streetscape development across the city.
If we're looking to potentially rescind the tree management framework tonight as well, that absolutely needs to be clear in this resolution, which it is not. And considering the community is highly aware of that tree management framework, I think it would be potentially dangerous to just cut it off at the knees when using something like this to just come in and replace it, noting that there is a lot of commonality between it. But it's not called out that we're actually trying to rescind that previous framework.
I didn't understand that we were doing that. Would staff like to comment further?
No, this tree management framework's quite a complex document, I guess, because it has many elements to it. So the guidelines are guidelines as such, but the tree management framework will still need to be referred to, can still be referred to, but we're not looking at rescinding that at this stage. We haven't given enough consideration to that, but because of the age of the document, it will be a document that will come back to council at some stage. There'll need to be another report to council about that as a separate issue.
It has to be said that the rate we're going with streetscaping, especially if we want to give everything the North Terrace treatment, we're going to be doing a handful a year. One, maybe two, three, maybe four in a good year. So that means all of the other streets in Marion are going to continue to be subject to the tree guidelines, the tree framework. So I don't see it as undercutting the tree guidelines terribly. Yeah, okay, but a point well made. Thank you, Councillor Pfeiffer. Councillor Hutchinson.
Well, that sent alarm bells off for me. 4 years into a document that is we're meant to be playing the long-term game with really scares me that we're going to go and burn time doing that, because it's that document is about the long-term streetscapes or street trees in Marion. The other issue is there's a contradiction about what's just been said here. There's, on one hand, we're saying, no, the new policy is going to replace trees as we need to infill with the new guidelines. And then you're saying that the old one stands. So which one is it? I'm even more confused.
Well, shall we just put this item off and get clarification?
I think this needs to go to forum. I'm willing to pull my seconding on it.
Would someone else like to move a deferral? Well, just before we do, I just want to ask, what's the impact on the planned works in Ramrod Avenue and Charles Street if we don't do this tonight? Mr. Elgato?
Through the chair, I just would like to highlight that in the section of the report under policy implications, it says there that the streetscape design guidelines will complement the street tree component, the species component of the council's tree management framework. So that is what is proposed at this stage.
All right. Well, if that's the best we've got, Mr. Scull.
Thank you, Your Worship. There's a lot of science went into the development of the tree management framework, if Councillor Pfeiffer would remember. I remember working long and hard on that to get a document that would actually put the right type of tree into the locations in the city, which are all different, and different trees grow differently in different places. The intention of the document in front of you is not to replace that document at all, but it complements it and adds some science into the selection of trees to our streetscape when we do come to get it.
Well, I'll take a motion of deferral if somebody wants to, but a question from Councillor Telfer.
Through the chair to Mr. Elgato, wasn't it that the consultant has used the whole tree list and added one other tree, or suggested one other tree? That's what I think I heard from Oxygen.
Mr. Elgato?
Yes, through the chair, I would need to actually confirm that, but it was my understanding that there were just about all of the trees used, and they added some additional species as well, but I would need to confirm that.
Councillor Hull? Yes?
PLEC program. With this item and maybe the previous one, how are we going to actually try and incorporate that in our thinking as well? If we can get those power lines underground, we can do a lot more things.
All right, Ms. Delgado.
Yes, through the chair. With the PLEC program, as the program of works are being developed, that element would be taken into consideration in the next stage of this project with that program of works. Because you're quite right, it is a really important component in undergrounding your electricity to, you know, create attractive streetscapes.
Councillor Crossland.
Again, a question. I agree there are some concerns, but I don't think they're that particularly great. I wondered if we may be able just to add a line to the motion that's before us to give some acknowledgement that these design guidelines basically sit underneath the tree management plan, and that we're aware that the tree management plan's been reviewed anyway, so it is going to come back to council. I'd just hate to see everything put on hold with more discussion when really it's not going to make really any difference to the two streetscapes that are already being planned, and I don't really hold up those works.
Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, just a quick one. When you're planting trees, the planting season starts in April, so we have time to make the right decision on this, so I will move for deferral.
Right, is that second to a date, a February meeting perhaps? Well,
would they give us enough time?
We have limited forum time now, and okay, the February and March forums are booked out already. But we could deal with it potentially over dinner or maybe on the 21st of January, since we'll be talking about streetscaping that day. So on that basis, we could even put it to the January meeting.
The January meeting would be fine.
Yep. Is that seconded? Councillor Hull, all those in favour? All those against? I'll take the vote again because it's close. All those in favour, raise your hands fully. Councillor Telfer, that's the best you can do. Councillor Westwood, which way are you? No, hands are down. So, right, all those against the motion is lost. So we'll carry on with the debate. Is there anyone speaking against the motion then? Councillor Crossland hasn't spoken.
Is it possible to move an amendment to the motion?
Councillor Crossland asked a question before, didn't speak, so you may move a motion of amendment. You may move an amendment, Councillor Crossland.
I'd just like to add a line two that basically says the tree management guidelines, a wording that basically sits above streetscape policy. So I don't know if you can help me with the wording there. Sorry, it's a bit on the hoof, but I think just to alleviate the fears of people that have raised them, we want to basically just lock it into this motion that the management plan we've got for trees is certainly not going to be affected by this motion.
Well, Councillor Crossland, perhaps what you intend is if you just put a comma at the end, subject to the tree framework. What's the proper name for it? The tree management framework. So if you just said subject to the tree management framework.
I'm happy with that, Your Worship. Thank you very much for those words.
Right. Is that amendment seconded by Councillor Pfeiffer? So did you wish to speak further? Councillor.
No, thank you.
Councillor Crossland, you don't wish to speak further. Councillor Pfeiffer, in seconding the amendment, you don't wish to speak. I'll put the amendment straight away. Is that? Are you in favour? Raise your hand. All those against the amendment? Okay, the amendment is carried, and debate can continue if you haven't spoken on the amended motion. No? Well, I'll just ask the mover to close the debate, if I can remember who it was. Oh, Councillor Gard, would you like to close the debate? Thanks.
Here I am. Getting carried away with losing the amendment. Your Worship, I think to just properly position this project, it is a very, very far-reaching project, and it will be far-reaching both in time and capital. It's important to be pragmatic with our design concepts, and I wouldn't for one minute say that work done prior to now has been a waste of time. Quite the opposite. The the substantial work that was done and delivered in 2012 will be a good basis to build upon. I think there'll be a synergy in the two exercises, but I would remind members that it's not just about tree species and you know, how you are going to work a street, but it's the particulars of how you use particular species, the distance you grow them apart, and some of the finer points that make the difference. And I think if you want to see exactly what I mean, have a look at Seacombe Road, the western end of Seacombe Road, treated by Holdfast Bay, has what I believe is the makings for a very good-looking streetscaped thoroughfare. Unfortunately, our section does not. There's no need to go into that anymore, but there are a lot of elements that this latest project are going to really bring to the fore, and we're not going to be throwing the other project data and information out, because the information we have is very valuable, but it's not complete to the end that we require in order for this project to be a total success over decades.
Thank you. And just while we're on the subject of design, I was struck recently when I visited the Plant 4 complex, which was part of the Gerard's factory at Bowden. And what they've done in the old factory complex is a series of cafes, sort of food truck style fare. It opens out onto a basic courtyard, then a grassed area, there's a little playground. And if you want to go and have a look at it, it's exactly what you could see at the Merion Cultural Centre, looking across to the pool. So I think if you want to get some design ideas, it's worthwhile. Anyway, I'll put that motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. People have been rolling up for the best free theatre in Marion, but let's just do one more item before we go back to the Masbury Circuit issue. So, members, you'll find that on page 454, this is an uncontroversial endorsement of the Recreation Community DPA. Obviously needs to go out for consultation. This remedies the quirk that our recreation precincts end up being zoned residential as it stands, but we don't really want to build on them. So, Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, happy to move as written.
Telfer, did you wish to speak? Anyone against the motion? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Well, now, with your leave, we'll bring on the items that we left earlier, items 7 and 8. So there's a deputation to receive, and Mr. Ian Grant, I'd invite you to come forward to the what we call the front of the chamber. And you have 5 minutes to state your case, and then we'll note the petition and deal with the motion that we have on the books. So if you finish earlier than 5 minutes, there's time for questions from members. Please go ahead, and Mr. Lyons will help you with the microphone.
Your Worship, elected members and council officers, each Sunday morning on Radio 891, the ABC, Macca, reads a letter from a listener entitled "Why I Live Where I Live." If this sounds like that, it is. The process used by the council to qualify parks for ongoing watering is excellent. Couldn't be faulted in my view. But Masbury Circuit, however, doesn't qualify, and Masbury Circuit doesn't fit in to the categories. It can't be compared with open space parks that soak up massive watering. Almost 20 years ago, your predecessors agreed with developer A.B. Jennings' plans for Masbury Circuit. Council obviously thought the plan was a good one and agreed to support it by providing water. 10 years ago, I drove in there and immediately thought, this is where I want to live. I still agree, and as do my fellow residents. It is unique. Council's foresight was unique. It really is a jewel in the crown of Marion Council, in my view. Maysbury is the visitor's envy. No other spot that I know of compares with it. The lawned areas provide the space which we all envy. Our love of the lawn was and still is demonstrated during dry periods by our personal watering using our own water. Council's advice to us was that the cost of this water to the council is $2,000 per annum. Well, the residents have agreed to pay for it themselves if necessary. Right now, this very moment, the cracking of the clay ground in this area is severe, and it's particularly worrying, but it's very close to our buildings. My letter to His Worship included three possible alternatives, as I see them. One was reverse the decision, fertilise and gypsumise, which that in itself saves water. Hasn't been done in my time in Maysbury Circuit. Two, appoint a subcommittee of our people with authority to water as seems necessary by them, up to a maximum of twice a week. And third, respond to this petition by agreeing to allow us to water our water with our water and adjust our rates accordingly. As stated, this whole project is based on a water cost of less than $2,000. Councillors, our plea is this. Please vote to keep our lawn. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Thanks for being concise, Mr. Grant. Did any councillors have any questions? Yes, Councillor Crossland.
Firstly, thank you very much for representing the community down there. I just have a couple of questions for you. The first one is, as you've explained, the council has a policy which was applied fairly across all our council area, and sadly that particular area didn't meet our policy. I'm just trying to work out why we would go against our own policy to water your reserve, because the consequences of that would be we'd have to completely re-look at our policy or maybe reverse it and start watering every reserve across council.
Mr. Grant?
The difference is Maysbury Circuit is a jewel and it's well worth preserving, as the previous councils wanted to do. We're very disappointed in the outcome of this at the present moment, but understand where that formula came from. But it doesn't fit. We think that we should be in the area up to number four, where we're treated differently to the major areas.
Of people that believe they live in a jewel place in the city of Marion, which I'm really excited about, that so many people live in a jewel area. We've been told, and I'll get staff to correct me if I'm incorrect, for $1 million, so not a lot of extra rates, we could water every reserve across the city of Marion. Do you think that's the decision council should be making?
I think councillors are elected to make those decisions. I'm hardly the person to be asking. $1 million sounds a heck of a lot, but that would we be included in that?
Everyone would be treated the same, and fairness and equity would be across the entire council area.
You've got me stumped. I don't know how to answer the question.
Any further questions? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, we dealt with a reserve earlier tonight, and that reserve had the benefit of wetland water going right past it, and the council made the appropriate decision on that. I'd like to ask the question at this point of anybody that might choose to answer: how close is Maysbury Circuit to any water from the Oaklands wetland now or perceived in the near future?
I would answer that.
Going to respond and say that it's not close enough to be viable to connect that, and I'm just going to ask for a nod from my people in the chat. Is that correct? Yes. So we wouldn't look at that. It would be better value to irrigate that from potable water.
I did ask how close will it be, mainly for the Sturt Oval, for example. That's possibly going to get it.
I think the viability also relates to the expense of the pipe and the amount of water that might be put through it. Mr. Lyons, can you add anything else? We'll ask Mr. Allen to come forward. Mr. Grant, that concludes the questions for you. So if you like, you can take your place back in the gallery. Thank you for your contribution. Mr. Ricketts, who might be able to add some more.
If I may, through the Chair, I don't know the exact meterage, but it's probably about half a kilometre. The constraint is Marion Road, Sturt Road. To go underneath that with a directional drill is very, very expensive. The cost-benefit analysis wouldn't stack up. It would be more beneficial to keep it on mains.
Any other questions before we deal with the other business? Councillor Pryor.
I guess in my eyes this looks very similar to Pepper Tree in that the reserve fronts the local residences, and so I guess I'm struggling to understand how this only earned a one on the chart when something that's very comparable in Pepper Tree earned a four.
So members can see the photographs on page 37. Yeah, Mr. Lyons, anything?
And I can accept that. In the first half of this year, we did put together the irrigation management plan matrix. Members were offered the opportunity to comment on this, and somehow this got through as a one. I will agree that it is consistent with Pepper Tree in its function.
Councillor Crossland.
From my recollection, when Pepper Tree was first in the matrix, it also scored a low score, and it was only through elected member intervention that they increased it. It actually didn't meet the criteria either.
All right, I think we're starting to get into debate. So, all right, I thought it was rhetorical, but yeah, go ahead.
It was increased by council. I think it scored 3 to start with and then went up to a 4.
So, if there aren't any further questions, first of all, it's a matter of noting the petition, so let's deal with these one at a time. It's uncontroversial. Someone like to move as printed on page 33, Councillor Hutchinson. Seconded, Councillor Telfer. All those in favour, all those against, that's carried unanimously, I think. So that's dealing with the petition that we've noted. And then I've drafted a motion, but I don't necessarily want to move it. So, Councillor Telfer, would you like to move the motion on page 38?
I'll move as per page 38 that we note that I met with residents at their behest, and we see the public value of Maysbury Circuit come to fore.
Councillor Hutchinson.
Oh, I wish to speak. Is that right?
Yeah. Hutchinson's seconding, and yeah. Councillor Telfer, please go ahead and speak.
Okay. The ward councillors didn't change the public values that came forward from staff at the beginning of the year, and this was listed, it said private development, and I think that put us off the plan as such.
but we come tonight to say Maysbury Court has a public value of 4 and summer watering should be put on council land. We're not talking about private land. This is used by others. It's a green space. It's shared. Maysbury Court green space affects the livability of 37 residents, as you've heard from Mr. Grant. On the 90 square metres, which is not large, it's about $2,000, and I was told it was $60,000 to put on the purple pipe. So obviously we'd rather spend $2,000 a year than $60,000 to put the purple pipe through and still pay for water. This green space is maintained at time by residents with, dare I say, watering, but also weeding and even their own gypsum. And it matters to them. This green space assists in the strong valuations of Maysbury Court. Without the green space, a lower capital value, a lower rate would be collected, and I was challenged. Do you want us to have lower valuations, so lower rates? It's equitable in city treatment, given pepper tree groves as treatment, as Councillor Pryor suggested. They've come tonight to ask, please put the summer watering on. They're only asking once a week when necessary.
Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Members, tonight we've been talking about streetscapes. We've been talking about what is our core business, and that is the public amenity. I think it's fair to say this is a quality development, a quality subdivision in Marion. And when we look around towards Tonsley and other developments, we expect a higher service standard in those areas. We want to lift the service standard across the city. This is a prime location where we should be watering and enhancing the local amenity. So, members, I encourage your support on this.
Lord Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just a question. In years gone by, we have irrigated this reserve, haven't we?
That's right.
Because it looks, when you look at it on Google Maps, it looks very green compared to the brown around it. Yeah. Okay.
Well, then, is anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Crossland.
I'll speak against, but I'd just like to repeat for the record what Councillor Telfer said. If we irrigate all reserves, we'll get more rates, improve capital values. That must be across the whole of council, not just a tiny enclave. I believe that the service provision across our council should be equal to all our residents. I don't believe the people who live in high-end developments should get a preference over people who live in lower socio-economic areas. I think it should be across the board, and if people would like to have a green reserve and they get 4 or 5 people together, the public value should go up to number 4 on all those reserves.
Councillor Valescu, speaking in favour.
I do understand some people are concerned that, you know, you're opening a Pandora's box, but I don't think we are. And I think the significant thing that where I've supported in my ward and where I'm willing to support in other areas is where people take pride in their community, where people take pride in their street. So if we're going to look at taking into account some variation, I think that's a very important thing. And we're not going to find that. We have spent a lot of money in some areas and people have nowhere near the pride and respect for their place and their surroundings. And taking pride and taking care of a community in public space like they do here and how they have in others. So for that instance, for that reason alone, I'll support this. And it isn't much if you look at the whole budget. In regards to this, but I guess that's really the driver for me. I don't think it turns the policy up on its head. I think that if we were really going to comment on the policy, all of us would have gone to each of our reserves and asked people, we're going to turn the water off here, what do you think, does it get used? And we didn't get a chance to do that. There was a lot on there. We had a bit of a glimpse, some of them slipped through the radar. and people have been contacted about this. So I'm happy to support this. I think sometimes you do have to be a little bit flexible. And I don't think it's going to open the floodgates of people coming in with petitions wanting their reserve water just for the sake of it. I think it's really about supporting the ongoing sense of pride and the work that people have been doing in that public realm. And one more thing, I just think for a group of residents, this is very important to them, and they may not be accessing the same other facilities that other people may be as well, so we'll keep that in mind.
Is anyone else speaking against the motion? Then Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Worship. Yes, I'm in a bit of a quandary with this one. I understand from the deputation, and I do see where the resident's coming from, and that is not what I am referring to now. I'm referring to that I think when we talk about being equitable to our residents and saying this is a very livable site, we have others that we... And I know that when we went through this as the Southern Wards, we were trying to be very economical for council, considering that we were trying desperately to keep rates low for residents. And so we realistically tried to look at our area, and we went we knocked so many back on irrigation, but they do fit the category that this group is talking about, that there are other areas and reserves that people face out onto. It's a little reserve, they take pride in it, and they want to see it watered. And I think we are if we pass this, we have to go back and we have to relook at all of them.
I certainly speak in favour of this one, and I have to state that I think we do have our policy wrong. I think for about the $1 million a year mark that we could water all the reserves, I think that is more what the residents would expect. I think that would be something like 1.5% of our budget or something of that order. And I think that is what we should be actually here recognising, that this is what we should be doing for our residents. There are quite a few other activities, or a few other activities that other people would question whether it's our core business, but I think this is one within our core business. So I think that basically every reserve should be watered unless there's a very good reason, compelling reason, why it should not be. And I think for the small amount that people would save, individual ratepayers would save, we'd gain a whole lot more in community activity and people's amenity in their local area. So I do support this motion. And if we have to bring each reserve up one at a time to try to go against our policy, I'm all for it. Thank you.
Incidentally, $1 million a year would be about 0.8% of the budget. Is anyone else speaking against the motion? Then I'll ask Councillor Telfer to close the debate. Thank you.
I am strongly committed to the conservation of water, but in this case, having looked at all aspects, I believe that we should continue the summer watering of Maysbury Circuit. It's been going on for 15 years. It's costing us $2,000 a year. We should do it.
I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority. Division is called. So we have more for the audience. A division has been called, which means that we actually specifically name who voted for and against. So those in favour, Councillor Pfeiffer, Councillor Telfer, Councillor Hutchinson, Councillor Pryor, Councillor Hull, Councillor Westwood, Councillor Blescu, Councillor Gard. Those against are Councillors Byram, Appleby and Crossland. So I declare the motion carried. For those of you in the audience, in the gallery I should say, you're very welcome to stay. We'll be here until 9:30 and beyond, as we are just about every Tuesday night of the year between January and December. But of course you're free to go quietly if you wish. You've seen democracy in action. Councillor Byram, you had a point?
Yes, with your indulgence, please, Your Worship, I would like to see about us moving a motion to review the irrigation of all spaces again, please.
I suggest that's something that would need to be brought on notice. So I invite you to work with staff and others and myself, if you wish, to bring something to say as soon as the January meeting. But I wouldn't accept it as a motion on notice right now, because we'd have to look at consequences, I believe. So what I invite you to do, members, is go to page 517 of your agenda to do with the netball club at Hallett Cove. Now, I'm a little bit confused because I thought we'd already tidied up this motion, but we've got another rescission here, so I'd invite staff to just give us a little bit of reasoning behind this motion, please. Ms. Dixon?
Through the Chair, so this motion just needs to be amended if Council approves it. When it was first resolved, if you look at the resolution number 3, it was endorsing allocation of $65,000 subject to the Cove Sports and Community Club securing additional funding through there. They were actually unsuccessful in obtaining that further $25,000. So points as per was in points 2 and 3. But the club has been able to secure additional funding. So it's really an administration point. It doesn't require any further contribution from council. It actually requires a lesser amount of up to $40,000.
Okay, thank you. I understand it now. It's exactly the same principle, except we're spending even less of our money. So that sounds rather good. Councillor Crossland to move. Seconded, Councillor Byram. Any further discussion? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried unanimously. Very well. We go on to page 519, and I note that this is in relation to an application that the Morfordville Park Sporting Club have made under the female facilities program through Reckon Sport. So all they're asking for is for our approval so that they can go for that money. They're not asking for any of our money at this point. Councillor Verscu to move.
Yes, I'll move as is. I wish them well. I hope they are able to get that funding. As members have been well aware, that this is where the boys get changed, and if the girls need to get changed, they need to wait outside as the girls get changed, and then they have to go back in when the girls are finished. And it's not, and at a site where you've got probably the largest and strongest women's AFL football team in the southern area, that can't happen. So hopefully we'll give them this support, and they can. It's up to the department for them to get some funding.
Yes, I've seen showers in army barracks that are a lot better quality than what they've got there. Is that seconded? Councillor Appleby, thank you. Supporting. Actually, great to see the ward councillors striving together there. Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. And so we go on to, this is an item where Councillor Hutchinson may wish to declare an interest, nomination for the Local Government Grants Commission on page 524. Councillor Hutchinson?
For being a member of the Commission, so I'll leave the chamber on this occasion.
I just want to say, in moving the motion, that I've heard nothing but good things about Councillor Hutchinson's performance there, and
Of course, he was appointed for 2 years, I think, and this would be potentially an initial additional 3 years. Moved, Councillor Crossland. Councillor Gard. Any opposition? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Can you please ask Councillor Hutchinson to come back in? And now the next three items, I thought, are all rather similar. I'd invite someone to move all three of them en bloc. They are making appointments effectively of independent members. Christian Reynolds to the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee, Emma Finchley to Hinchley, to the Finance and Audit Committee, and Greg Connor to continue as a member of the SWARA Audit Committee. So all of these have been looked at by the People and Culture Committee, and it's been a rigorous process, and they all look pretty good. Councillor Telfer to move?
Those three.
Of course, members may speak to any individual aspect. Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor, wish to speak? If there's nothing more, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And I'm sure that all three of them will be very pleased to be advised. And I think we've done very well. Right, next we're looking at Hendry Street Reserve, page 534. Now this is a curious one. I've made the point before that I found it odd that an organisation would approach us, and this is totally divorced from the very worthy cause that they're promoting, but it's odd that they'll promote us and agree to commit money as a share towards a project without actually having the money. And I honestly say that I was always under the impression that when we agreed to put in $250,000, state agreed to put in $250,000, I assumed the organisation had the capacity to provide their $400,000. So at the moment, just to recap, members, there was a memorandum of understanding in June 2014, revised in September 2015 because we changed the location, that's all. But the commitment on their part to $400,000 remained. Now, in this report, and I took it up with Ms. Dixon earlier today, I could not make sense of the numbers because we had a project that was estimated at $900,000 cost. We were told that the toilet aspect was always included in that $900,000. We're also told that the cost of the toilet has been expected to increase by about $60,000. So if you look at the table on page 536, the logical consequence that that staff have drawn is that our contribution would increase from 250 to 310, but the total cost remains 900. Therefore, the Touched by Olivia Foundation contribution decreases from 400 to 340. Now, the logic that I use is that if a component of the project has increased by 60,000, then the total cost of the project increases by 60,000 to 960. Fair enough, we put in the extra 60 to make it 310, but that would still leave 250 from the state government, who have paid their money in good faith, and 400 from Touched by Olivia. So, Ms. Dixon, can we start off just clarifying those sums, please?
Through the chair, so the additional $60,000 that council approved towards the project was in the 14th of June council report this year. There was a report regarding public toilet facilities,
where Council endorsed the 5-year program of works as I outlined in the financial section of the report. And in that financial section of the report, it indicated that $60,000 for the additional requirements for the inclusive play space, which includes, like it is a more expensive toilet because of the DDA requirements associated with that play space, would also go towards the project. In hindsight, we could have made that clearer in that report that that would increase, like reduce the amount required by the Touch by Olivia Foundation, so we take that feedback on. And I think earlier in a report there was an estimation for the toilets as part of the project budget, the total $900,000. There was an indication that the toilets would cost around in the order of $250,000.
So, Ms Dixon, with respect, my question hasn't really been answered, because the propositions that I've got from the document so far is that the total cost was $900,000, and that included a toilet. The next thing that happened is that we understood that the cost of the toilet would increase by $60,000, and Council agreed we would pay the extra $60,000. That would make the total cost of the project $960,000, wouldn't it?
Through the chair, we were looking to not increase the total cost of the project, but try and deliver it within the overall budget of $900,000.
Well, it doesn't say that anywhere in the report, though, does it?
No, I apologise for that.
So, does that mean that we agreed in June this year to increase our contribution by $60,000? That's right, isn't it?
Through the chair, yes.
So, what staff have done has said we will reduce our estimated cost of the project by $60,000 essentially, and we'll take that off the Touched by Olivia Foundation contribution. Is that the case?
Through the chair, we were always working towards a project budget of $900,000. We take the feedback that it wasn't. We didn't make that as clear in the previous reports with redirecting that $60,000. That it would reduce the contribution required by the Touch by Olivia Foundation. But we were always working to the total budget of $900,000, which had been indicated in all previous reports to Council.
Well, except that at some point, surely you increased your estimate of the cost when you found out the toilet was going to cost more, because then didn't the 900 become 960 in your assessment?
Look, through the chair, through the design process, we have the ability to, work to a $900,000 project, which, and so through the design and incorporation and planning of the different elements of the project, we can take and add certain amounts from that $900,000 to different particular assets of the project.
Okay, so I'm getting it now that you simply changed the design to take account of the toilet cost overrun, so there's less play space or less play equipment than there was. You've saved money, and in doing so you've been able to reduce the Touched by Olivia contribution by $60,000. Is that the case then?
Through the chair, yes, we're working towards the $900,000 budget.
All right, that's enough from the Mayor. Does anyone, before we go into debate, does anyone have any questions? Councillor Velescu had his hand up for a long time. I'll go there first. Well, yeah, okay. I'm asking for questions. Councillor Byram?
Yes, thank you, Worship. So, with the fact that we had a memorandum of agreement of $400,000 with Touch by Olivia. What correspondence has there been with them to now reduce that from the 400,000?
That's a good question. Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair, there isn't any formal correspondence in terms of that other than the memorandum of understanding. We have a funding strategy and breakdown towards what we're looking for and where the money is going to different elements of the project.
So at the moment, touched by Olivia, fully expect to be bound by this September 2015 Memorandum of Understanding, which commits them to 400,000, I suppose. Would that be right, Ms. Cladone?
Through the chair, that is what is outlined in the Memorandum of Understanding, yes.
All right. Councillor Crossland, question?
Yeah, just to follow on that, because I was going to foreshadow a motion, but from my understanding, the cost went up, now it's back to where it was, so the status quo can be reformed. We pay 250, Diptide pay 250, and Touched by Olivia pay 400. So we're really back to where we were right at the beginning, and we can fund this play space for 900 with the original funding we offered to give.
That's if the memorandum of understanding is to be kept and the commitment of 400,000 is fulfilled. Would that be right, Ms. Cladon?
Oh, through the chair, we have set aside $250,000 for the play space, and through the 14th of June council report, an additional $60,000. So council's current commitment through those two different areas is $310,000.
Right. Sorry, Councillor Crossland, but I've got one to follow up on that. Sorry to cut your lunch there, but in the 14th of June report, then, where we increased funding for the toilet, did we make an adjustment to the whole project to the $900,000 at that time? Was council informed of your intentions to maintain a $900,000 budget?
Through that report, there wasn't any detailed discussion around the overall budget for the Touched by Olivia Foundation Inclusive Play Space project. As such, it was just outlined that an additional $60,000 was needed for the public toilet facility for the inclusive play space, for the additional DDA facilities required for that particular toilet facility.
All right. Councillor Crossland, did you wish to go on?
I think that's answered it, Your Worship. We're probably going round in circles. We're back to where we were. It's a $900,000 project and we don't need to put the $60,000 in any longer.
Right. Was there any other questions? Yes, please, go ahead.
In regards, like, for extra money to come to us to pay for the toilet, was there any expectation that the asset being the toilet is specifically our responsibility? And is that why we took on that extra cost and instead of expecting more from Touched by Olivia, we cut it, as opposed to putting into the whole budget and expecting them to pay the extra $60,000 or making it out of their contribution?
Through the chair, no. Look, all assets that are to be on site and to be built will be the City of Marion assets to be maintained into the future and for life of that asset. It was identified that in this particular instance, the toilet would cost $50,000 to $60,000 more than other standard XLUs that we install across the city.
All right. Now, Councillor Crossland, you wanted to move a motion?
I just want to move a motion with a slight amendment.
You both do. But
okay. I've emailed staff with a suggested motion. I don't know if...
Well, we'll try the alternative. If that doesn't work, I'll come back to you, Councillor Blescu.
Thank you. You should have an amended motion, staff, which takes into account the change in circumstances with the budget going back to 900,000.
That's correct, Your Worship.
All right. Well, I'll just, people can see it on the screen before we speak to it. Would someone like to second the motion? Councillor Gard. So, Councillor Crossland, go ahead.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just move this motion. It's definitely something I want to see progress. There's no doubt about that. It's a great project. I'm just concerned in the way that this is playing out at the moment, with an agreement to pay some money, a time frame, and at the moment it's moving ahead extremely slowly, and I'm worried about the time frame that even is suggested by staff being December the 2017. I'm really wanting to reduce the risk to council on here, and let's actually wait until the third party has raised the funds, and then let's move full steam ahead and deliver this play space.
Right. Councillor Gard? Nothing to add?
No, I have no comment. I just comply with what Ian Crossland said.
Yes, thank you. Speaking against, Councillor Bolescu?
Yeah, look, I really wish that members would, sort of email, speak to the members who've been working on this project, because I understand that members are concerned that we'll have to pay extra money. I also understand that there is some misunderstanding as to how that money will be allocated, and it's not clear, and I'm disappointed that it happened, because it actually is counterproductive in people's trust in the program. But I don't support this, and I call members not to support this, because if Touched by Olivia aren't able to get all the money, we can reduce the scope. We have already received $250,000 from DIPTI for this project. We are getting an organisation that's offering us basically money for free, and we're complaining because we're not getting all they think they could have got. They've delivered 16 projects interstate. Australia's economy and philanthropy in the sectors where they've been successful interstate haven't been up to scratch, and they've had to revise, you know, they need a bit more time to do fundraising. That's why this will, if they can't get the $400,000 to by a certain date, then all bets are off DIPTI get their money. I recommend members oppose this motion and look at the recommended motion, because if they're not able to get all the funding that they thought they can get, we can deliver something, but it's just a reduced scope. We can use the $250,000 we've got from DIPTI, which we will lose, and we can actually deliver something for the community. I think we've got to realise that this is extra money that they've offered us. You know, and that's the issue. Now, there is some learning from this. There's some learning, I guess, if we have contracts like this in future, we need to look at them differently. And, you know, all of us that were there, we saw the successes interstate, and we were reasonably confident that there wouldn't be any issues. Now, obviously, the council's changed. Things have changed a little bit since then. But I think this throws the baby out with the bathwater, and it's not supporting the project. And I think we've made mistakes like this in the past, where we've left things and we've missed it. So I believe that Touched by Olivia will get more money. They are in discussions with some credible players, I think, and I think we should allow it to go forward. And once again, if we don't get all the money that they promised, that they thought that they could get under the memorandum of understanding, we can still have an inclusive play space, and we can still deliver something with our community by the deadline asked for by both Touched by Olivia and, mandated, for lack of other word, from DIPTI.
Councillor Bolescu, I'll invite you to just comment on one further thing. So in over 2 years, they've raised about one-sixth of what they said they would provide. Do you have any comment on that?
One-sixth is still better than nothing, and they've progressed. I don't know why they've got to this point. I haven't had discussions with them. I can understand why people are sceptical, but they are in discussions. I know of a group that has approached me wanting to get involved, and I could see a reasonable amount being provided by that group, and I have told staff, and I believe that there have been discussions.
A point of order, does someone say? Oh, Councillor Hart.
I have to ask the question, is the Mayor's line of questioning to a councillor who's finished his time appropriate? I really have to ask that question.
Well, I say there's no point of order. it was to give the opportunity to further clarify the councillor's remarks, and I think that's fine. Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, I agree with Councillor Villescu, and I have some questions regarding that. They've done these other places interstate. How much time did it take them to raise the money for some of those place spaces? Are we looking at years like this, or are we in a different scenario from what has happened interstate with that fundraising? What are they saying they need in time frame for these sponsorship deals that they're putting out?
Let's go with that, and I'll come back to you.
Thank you.
Ms. Clutter.
The other projects have varied in time that they've needed to pull together the funding due to the fact of various funding availability. So they're all different, and they're all different components of the makeup. I think one thing to consider in this instance is that there has been a hold-up with fundraising on our part due to the change in location of the play space some time ago from the Oaklands Estate over to the Hendry Street Reserve, which was out of their control at that time.
Well, that was over a year ago in any case. Councillor Byram, keep going if you have other questions.
What is their request and how much time they need?
Through the Chair, they've actually requested until the end of the financial year. In the report, it outlines we've reviewed that request. We don't believe we can give them that amount of time. We think until the end of April, and then we need to draw the line in the sand and come back to Council, as outlined in the report, with the funding that's been received to that time, to allow procurement and construction through to the end of December, which is in line with the DIPTI funding agreement. We need to be able to equip DIPTI's funds by December next year.
Ms. Cladderham, do you know if in the last 12 months or so that Touched by Olivia Foundation has funded other such playgrounds around the country?
Through the Chair, they've opened four that I know of this year.
Well, now I think I know where the money went. Councillor Byram, did you wish to keep going? Yeah, all right. It was Councillor Pryor, then Councillor Hull.
About delivery of our other projects in the play space strategy and our say project management resources and things like that. How do all these delays affect that? Is that something we've taken care of, or is that something that's causing us issues?
I'll just echo what Councillor Pryor is saying, because I raised the question. If we've got 250,000, even 310. In our budget for expenditure this financial year, I suggested, couldn't that money be used on another play space project this financial year, and then we rebudget for next year? But I was told this is a design year, not a build year, so there's nothing else available to do with that money. Councillor Ms. Cladderham, would you like to clarify that, please?
Yeah, through the Chair. Look, this is the first year of our design development, the first year and deliver the second. We're currently in the design development phase for five play spaces. They won't be due to finish the design development phase until May. Following this financial year, we will be moving to a design development and delivery phase. So we'll be delivering the five that we're planning this year, as well as planning for the following financial year's play spaces as well. But this is the first year we've entered into the design development phase 1 year and deliver the second year. And that isn't to reduce carryovers.
This is asking questions, just to be clear. In Adelaide, I understand that Touched by Olivia has some ambassadors, one of which is Quentin Kernahan. Along with that, there has been local fundraising. I'm aware of that. I'm just wondering what this council's done to help these people. What have we done in an active and progressive way to help Touch by Olivia bring about a great outcome for our disabled kids in our council area?
I know that they gave an address at one of the business breakfasts I attended, but would staff like to add to that?
We have worked with the Touch by Olivia Foundation in providing leads through grants that are available in South Australia. We've attended various meetings with potential leads for funding, either with the foundation or without. We've attended some fundraising events, and we're working with other community groups and through the local councillors in following up those grants as well.
Order. That's not really a question. I'm now just looking for speakers in the debate. Oh, you had a question, Councillor Hutchinson? All right, carry on.
That actually raised more questions for me, and I think we should have that on the record. So we, over 12 months, we are designing 5 play spaces. And how many FTE are associated with delivering those designs?
And presumably they're 5 different designs, okay, which is contrary to, you know, what I want to put
Through
before
the
council.
Chair, I'd have to take that on notice. I don't have those details in front of me.
We'll have that on notice in the next agenda, I think.
Sure, let's do that. Okay, any more speakers or Councillor Crossan will close the debate. You've seconded, Councillor Gard. You're not speaking now. Councillor Pfeiffer?
The for or against that we're up to?
Just have a go, Councillor.
Okay, no worries. Thank you. Look, Your Worship, I'll start by saying that the matter in terms of the confusion in regards to the finances for the toilets, look, it's unfortunate. It's not entirely clear, but it is what it is. We've got time up our sleeve with this. We do still have time, and that's recognised within the content of the suggested motion. I don't see why all work should stop today when we do actually still have time up our sleeves. We don't want to throw the baby out with this thing. The organisation that we're dealing with here is a charity organisation. You know, it's not a commercial. I work for a commercial organisation. It's not a commercial organisation. It's not one that necessarily has an absolute known cash flow on a day-to-day basis. So I think, we do have to have a little bit of flexibility around that, and I think what's suggested, the motion in front of us at the moment on the screen, I don't think necessarily reflects the fact that this is a charity organisation that we're dealing with. They have worked with us extensively over the last couple of years to get to this point. I think a little bit of grace to say, we'll give you an extra couple of months and let's have another chat in May and come back to council then and see where we're at. We can then have a similar chat to DIPTI as well and see where they're at, and we'll take it from there. Let's keep the ball rolling and keep moving towards something that truly is extraordinary, and it truly is a very, very unique site in South Australia for the many, many, many parents and kids who are disabled in the city of Marion and outside the city of Marion as well. So, look, I'm going to be voting against this so that we can actually keep the ball rolling and keep moving towards a great outcome.
And when we talk about the ball rolling, what staff work is being done? Presumably the full-scale design work still to be done over the next few months if the original motion as printed goes ahead. Is that right, Ms. Quaddam?
Through the chair, we're near completion of the design in line with the initial timeframes. So there is some design work left, but we're quite nearing the completion of that. Other work would be... particularly with this nature of the project, would be procurement negotiations. Whilst we would not procure any particular items, the nature of the project tends itself to be talking to distributors that may be supplying discounted items, and we've received an exemption, a tender exemption for those discussions to occur. We'd also be following up with groups in the community that may wish to be potential sponsors And we'd be liaising with the Touch by Olivia Foundation on a monthly basis. We have regular project meetings to look at progress.
So if the design work is nearly done, as you say, then table 1 on page 537, why do we have detailed design December 2016, January, February, March, April 2017? What does that mean if it's nearly finished?
Through the chair, the design work would occur up until design work itself includes documentation and preparation of specifications for tender, and that would occur as part of the work that would happen in those months. Just to clarify those points as well, it's not full-time work through those months, it's a time period of when that work would happen through the course of the project leading to different stages. So it's not full-time hours, it's just saying when the particular elements of the work with the project actually occur from a staging process.
Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I'd like to congratulate Councillor Valescu and Tim for their contribution to Councillor Pfeiffer, to their contribution to this debate. I throw my weight behind you completely. I am also concerned about the public comments that are made by some of our representatives about this. I really think that if there are these issues, get the CEO aside in an appropriate place, have a frank discussion about keeping any project on task. I understand that completely, but I'd hate to think that Touch by Olivia would be mould by the political process of the elected members wanting the Gantt chart to be met with the guidelines for the project progress. So I hope that stops. I hope that stops, because this is a well-meaning organisation that have got a reputation, and they would probably like to deal with people they like to think are actually in partnership. And understand that there are other things that are happening at the same time. In terms of moving the playground, I'm sorry, I don't accept that has caused delays. There was good reason for that. It was very early in the piece. And as for consulting other elected members, we're one block from this. We're one block. And please talk to us. I want to know. I want to know what's going on. I want to contribute. I did talk to Touch by Olivia people at the breakfast, and I was really glad that I did that. I think that we need to do more. Like, what about the corporate, getting corporate involvement in this? Interstate, keep talking about Mornington Council in Victoria. The corporate entities get involved over there big time, and I'd like the CEO, who has a relationship with the CEO in Mornington, to talk to them about how they did that. It doesn't mean we have to do everything. I just think that we could be the flux. We could actually try and make it happen by bringing everybody together. Members, this is a destination play space, but it's for kids that don't really have much of an opportunity. And I really think that we actually should be doing something special here, and I'd hate to see the whole thing go arse up.
Yeah, I certainly don't. I just have to respond to that, because I don't think anyone is really saying that they don't want this very worthwhile project to go ahead. Councillor Crossland, a question, and also to close the debate.
Firstly, the question I've got is, I heard what Councillor Valescu said about scaling down the project, and I'm really concerned about that. I also would like to ask staff, if we follow Councillor Valescu's lead, and you spent all this time and effort doing a design for a 900,000 play space, and then we go, you've got 600,000, aren't you not going to have to redo that work? And are you not going to have to go out to tender yet again? Are we wasting our time?
Ms. Cladham.
Through the chair, what we would be proposing and can do is come back to council in May with a option that's included a concept plan with the money that we have available. So it won't be that difficult to remove elements of the $900,000 plan.
Don't have the money.
Through the chair, sorry, this motion, Councillor Crossland. I understand that actually would, that direction would actually see us needing to achieve the full $900,000, particularly with the touch by Olivia, and us not to come back to council until they had raised the $400,000.
All right, Councillor Crossland, up to you to close the debate.
Okay. Again, for the record, I don't want to see a scaled-down project, and I won't support a scaled-down project of this particular play space. It's essential for Marion Council's reputation that we actually deliver what we promised to deliver, and we've gone in the media on record to say we will deliver. My concern is that we're not going to deliver the play space that we want in the time scale that we want. I agree with Councillor Hall, we should be doing more to actually get sponsorship, and I'd like to see staff take that on notice and actually help the Touched by Olivia Fund to deliver this play space. My comments still stand and the motion still stands because I'm concerned at the reputational position of Marion Council if we can't deliver the play space we've promised. And maybe I could even ask the messenger to put a call out for people to come forward to sponsor this very worthwhile project.
All those in favour of Councillor Crossland's motion, raise your hand. All those against, the motion's defeated. Councillor Vlescu to move.
I'll move the motion, and I first of all like to thank Councillor Crossland for his contribution. Whilst I disagree that the motion would have achieved that, because I think it would have held works up, I am heartened to see that Councillor is not wanting to, you know, cause any detriment to people with disabilities in the community, or, you know, stop the project. But I think it would have, but maybe wasn't intended. Members, I guess moving forward, it's about, you know, what supporting however we can, touched by Olivia, who have delivered in other areas. I suspect it would have been local funding that they would have received, but obviously how they allocate the internal resources to get things done, I can't comment. I do think we do have some learnings here about how we approach these things, but I think we get behind them, we give them extra time within reason, so we can pursue the project, because the residents want it. They're asking, you know, when are you going to do that? When's that going to happen? I get that quite often. So let's wish them every success to get every dollar they can. I don't want to see a scaled down project, and but I'm also aware, I don't know what the appetite is for council to contribute, what, you know, the shortfall, if there is any. So I guess that's why I brought that up. Ideally, I wouldn't. Now, if, you know, councillors around the table, if there is a shortfall, wish to contribute, that's great. But I don't know if that's what people wanted. So if we're not able to get this donation from a charity, which it is a donation from a charity, then, you know, we'll have to look at, not to the full extent, we'll have to look at something a little bit more modest. So I wish them all the best. Hopefully they can get to that point or pretty close.
Councillor Hull, seconding the motion.
Thank you. I support Councillor Lescu on this. In fact, he touches on the point of scaling up. And what a wonderful suggestion. You know, if this project had a nice round sound to it of $1 million, I'd be comfortable with that. Would our community be happy with that? How many in your community would object? Think about it. How many would object if this was $1 million project? Members, if we did, this would be in the realms of Jessica Leo, the journalist that keeps banging away about this sort of project, destination play space, thinking big, big town mentality, all of that. And I agree with her. I don't always agree with Jessica, but on this stuff I do, very much so. You know, like, we're always that far away from doing something really, really good. And we tend to fluff around and, and bugger eyes around, and we just don't get there. And it really annoys me. You know, like, there's so many examples of this, Mr. Mayor. Our gallery over in Gallery M was that far away from being a significant Class A gallery. And, you know, there's so many examples where we're almost there, but we're not. And with this one, I'd like to see us nail it. I really do. And I think we have the support of our community. How many people in our community would object to actually spending money on a decent play space that generations of disabled kids have never had? How many? You know, like, I'm willing to put my job on the line. I don't know about you.
Speaking against...
I've got two questions.
Questions, Councillor Hutchinson.
So the first question is to the staff. Can it be a modular design in that elements can be built on later or staged, given the current design?
Through the chair, that is a possibility and something we'd look to bring back in May.
Second one I had was we talk about in here our commitment, and it says we'll design and manage construction of the play space. Have we included staff time in our budget there?
We don't do that for desirable projects, but I'll invite staff to comment.
The MOU states that councils, the financial breakdown of each party, the capital component, and also outlines that City of Marion would contribute to in-kind staff time as well.
Figure does not include any staff time.
Through the chair, that's correct.
Okay, anyone speaking against? No, you've had your chance. Are there any other speakers? Then I'll put it to a vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. It's carried unanimously. Fantastic. Okay, we move on to page 575. I think I will take up the suggestion and call the Chief Executive of Touched by Olivia. Page 575. So, okay, back to a good news story. Energy efficiency. Councillor Pryor to move.
Yes, I'm very happy to move this once again. Look, if you want to have a look down the list, members, all of these items, look, they kind of all average to about a 7-year payback. This is putting money in the bank for the future. I think we can argue ins and outs if we really want to, but probably the simplest way to do this is to do it on block, so to speak. And I'm quite comfortable with the motion as it stands.
Seconded, Councillor Telfer.
This is all very worthwhile, and the payback's not that long.
Anyone opposed? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Wonderful. On to... is it 6-4? No. 6, thank you. Page 622. Options to increase Wi-Fi access. So it's really just further investigations. It's all good stuff. Councillor Valescu is a champion of Wi-Fi access in the city. Go ahead.
Yeah, look, I'd like to thank the staff for taking the time to get in contact with me to explain some of these issues I wasn't aware of. There are some issues as far as capacity and, I guess, control, because it is public facility. We need to make sure that we have the appropriate controls as to the information that is accessed, both from a moral and a legal point of view. So it makes some of the options difficult, but I think the main thing is that there are limitations as far as the capacity goes. What might be good enough for a few people in a household would not be suitable for some of these venues. So I'm looking at things like, you know, Wi-Fi through the telephones and things like through 4G and stuff like that. So the best way forward is to see if we can look at our higher use areas. I think Glendore would probably be the top of the rank, and then Trott Park. Although I have been told that there were computers at Trott Park and they were removed because they weren't being used, I don't know. Some of the users there might have, you know, different feelings on that. But I think, you know, let's see if there's other funding available to connect Glandore and Trott Park to the City of Marion fibre connection. And that'll give us an appropriate service. So, look forward to possible opportunities.
Thank you. That's seconded. Councillor Westwood, did you wish to speak?
Yes, anything that increases our connectivity is great. And so I support that. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put it to a vote. All those in favour, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we move on to page 627, licensing. It is getting late. Leasing and licensing policy. Now, there's a lot in this report. Every one of us would probably quibble with one or two things in the proposed policy, but I would like to stress that the recommendation is adopting it for community consultation. So it's just to send out to the groups and see what comes back. Perhaps that will shorten debate. Over to you, Councillor Hutchinson. To move that way, seconded Councillor Westwood. No one speaking against. I'll put it to a vote. All those in favour. Hands down. Councillor Blescu? Please do. That was carried unanimously. It was carried by majority. Thank you for the correction. Appreciate that. Alright, we're moving on to page 640, Natural Landscaping Guide. The end of the biophilic era. And, yep, looks good, Councillor Crossland. And seconded Councillor Telfer. Anything, Councillor Telfer, do you wish to speak? Then, anyone against? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. Section 270 review, removal of place space, Resolute Crescent, page 643. Now, this is a curious one because my question, and I don't know whether it's a councillor or manager who can answer it, but are these people actually concerned about the procedure, or are they concerned about the policy that we've adopted? That's what I don't quite understand. Any comments?
Through the chair, the complaint has asked for the process to be reviewed of how the decision has been made, but they're also opposed to the playground being reviewed, so it's got two parts to it.
Well, have they been advised of their options in terms of a 270 review for process issues and a political approach, whether it be a petition or whatever, for the merit of the decision issue? Ms. McKenzie, do you know?
We haven't discussed with them a petition at this point, no. But what we have done is talk to them through the process of how we would review how the decision has been made.
Okay. Councillor Crossland?
Can I move as printed, but with option one, the internal review panel, please?
Sure.
And can I add a note for that the complainant be advised of the petition process if they wish to reinstate the play space?
Manager's happy with that wording? Okay. Councillor Westwood's going to second that, but Councillor Crossland, did you wish to speak further?
No, Your Worship, I'm happy that that's self-explanatory.
Did you wish to add something?
Yes, just briefly. From correspondence we've seen so far on this issue and other reserves as well, or play spaces and parks, there's more of an emerging opinion, I think, from the public that these play spaces are more important than we seem to understand. and I think that we have to be very cautious about closing down or withdrawing equipment or play equipment or furniture from these areas. As this particular place, even though I've only seen correspondence from a limited number of people, I'd almost be interested, even though it's not in my ward, I'd almost be interested in walking around and actually speaking to the people there to see exactly how much it does matter to them. Because the thing is that if it is important to older people, as has been stated in correspondence, that they go there to relax and they bring their grandchildren to the area and play on the equipment, and they want their furniture to stay there and even more furniture added, that's what the parks are for. And if it's going to be well used, well, I wholeheartedly support it. That's about it. Thank you.
Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. On to page 655, Mayor Hannah LGA Value Seminar.
Your Worship, I've got to declare a conflict of interest, a perceived conflict. LGA membership, given my current position that I'm now a nominee of the Local Government Grants Commission, it might be perceived that my vote is tainted, so I'd like to leave the chamber.
I bet you would. So that's been noted. Thank you. Now, if I could beg your pardon? No, that was an appendix to, much as I'd love to discuss it further, that was an appendix to the 270 review. That's what they're complaining about, in a sense. So, on to the LGA Value Seminar. Just a bit of background. Work is being done, councillors, on the various contracts which may or may not be delivered either through the LGA or elsewhere. We have a report coming back to us, due to come back to us in March 2017 anyway. So the point of the motion is to hold a public forum where we can discuss, subject to confidentiality of commercial issues, what we have found, to see if what we have found is useful to others and to see if what others know is useful to us. So that's the purpose of it. Would anyone like to move that way? Councillor?
I would move a deferral until the report, the cost-benefit report, can be looked at in an elected member forum.
Okay. That'll mean that there won't be a seminar because, well, it'll be old news by the time the seminar's conducted. But so be it. Moved, is that seconded?
That's a question from staff.
So do you mean?
I guess if we're going to go to the public, we should know, we should really make the decision about how we're going to publicise information once we get it, because, you know, we could send emails out. We could do all sorts, and it saves us having to organise a seminar if it's not appropriate.
So if we defer it to the same meeting that the LGA, membership or cost-benefit analysis comes back to council. Is that the idea, Councillor Telfer?
My question was that if there was a draft benefit analysis, that we could look at it in an elected member forum and discuss it, and therefore we'd have much more comprehensive idea of the benefit of having every member of parliament in South Australia and every elected member in South Australia and all of our 80,000 residents invited to a meeting.
So do you want to adjourn it to the end of March, for example?
I was deferring it until the draft cost-benefit analysis can be presented to elected member forum, and if that can be done sooner, well, so be it.
Okay, understood. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. Is that seconded? Councillor Blescu? Anyone opposed? Then... put it to a vote. Thank you. Point of order is upheld, Councillor Hull. All those in favour? All those against? I'll have that vote again. I think it may be a tie. All those in favour of the deferral? 5. So, and all those against? It's 5. So, look, I'll vote. I don't want to push it. I'll vote. I'll cast my vote in the affirmative, and we'll bring it back later. Remaining item, coastal walking trail. Councillor Crossan's just asking for a report with cost estimate. So, Councillor Crossan to move.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I don't really need to speak too much on this. It's a state initiative that when the walking trail was damaged, for whatever reason, the council of the time decided not to repair it. So, unfortunately, residents no longer have a livable, walkable city, and I'd like to restore that.
Seconded, Councillor Gard. Did you wish to speak, Councillor Gard?
Just briefly, Your Worship. I think this is probably one of the biggest glaring holes in our operation at the moment, because there doesn't seem to be any reason why we shouldn't be planning it in with a reasonable amount of urgency, given that the whole world is waiting for it effectively, and we don't really want to be where the logjam is situated.
Opposed to the motion, Councillor Hull? Question?
Mr. Mayor, how many people in Glandore, Edwardstown, Glengarry have a coastal walking trail?
I was just thinking the same thing. Councillor Hull, I can answer that. As a matter of fairness and equity, I think we should be working towards a coastal walking trail in every ward.
Yes, you're with me.
On the same, make Marion great again.
Yes. Yeah. Particularly if it's irrigated.
Absolutely. Probably on both sides. With safety rails. I think I should put it to a vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. I declare the meeting closed. Merry Christmas, everybody.